All right. Well, like I say, you know what I'm going to speak about today. We're going to talk about the days of unleavened bread, and as we wrap up this portion of God's holy day plan, we want to kind of review a few things and cover them. As we do, let's go to Hebrews 3 and verse 1, and I'll just introduce this concept. Hebrews 3, and this time we do want to go to Hebrews. And again, sometimes when you're studying the scripture, you might look at a scripture and say, I've read this 100 times, and not that you don't believe it, and not that it doesn't impact you, but maybe there's something else you can learn from this verse. And so I had that experience here in Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, and that's how God looks at us, as holy brethren. Now, does he call us holy or separate? It's because we've accepted the calling. It's not that we're any better than anybody else. We've accepted that calling and entered into relationship. So Paul calls people who have done that in God's word. He says they're holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So look, partakers, what is that? Well, everybody knows what partakers means. Well, that's a correct translation. But in the Greek, it means more than just partakers. So I looked it up, and it's interesting. It can mean participation. So with a partakers, that translation is fine. Share, we are sharing or sharer of the truth that God has given us. And by implication, and this is what really intrigued me, it can also mean partner. So, as you know, many times you have to look at the context to pick out the best word. And partaker's good, and it's usually what is in each translation. But partner is also something that would not be beyond the scripture. We are holy brethren, as we've talked about, and we've been called to partnership in this heavenly calling. And sort of tie in a little bit what I talked about on the first day. We are in partnership. And I've read Galatians 2, and I won't turn there again, but I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live the life I live by faith of the Son of God, so forth and so on. All right, let's go there, because I didn't quote it very well. We can start verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. Again, we've gone through this in great depth in other sermons and Bible studies, where he says, I, through the law, died to the law. Well, Romans 6:24 says the wages of sin is death. There's a 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the law had power over him until he what? Come right back to the Passover again. Until you accept Christ as your Savior and the shed blood of Christ and the symbolism that's in the Passover, we accept Christ. Until we do that, we're under the death penalty. And then when we accept Christ, we're no longer under the death penalty. Our relationship to the law has changed. Remember, the writer of Hebrews, I believe it was, he says there's laws about marriage. And as long as you are married, there are certain laws about marriage that you're obligated to be obedient to. When you lose your mate, the laws of marriage don't disappear, but your relationship to that law has changed. Okay? And this is kind of the same thing he's talking about here. Anyway, verse 20, then he talks about this new relationship. So I've been crucified with Christ. Let's think about partnership here. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. See, so we are the vessel, if you will, in which the Holy Spirit, remember, we're the temple of God now. We don't have a physical temple of stone and brick. The members of who have God's Holy Spirit are part of that temple that we read about in other sermons. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. There's that partnership taking place. What do I mean partnership? Well, that's, we're working together, if you will. That's, again, kind of what we talked about on the first day of Unleavened Bread. We have a relationship, we have a partnership, and we're working together. Yeah, we have a high priest, but we also have who's Christ. But he's also our elder brother. He's also living in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have this relationship, this partnership. And so when Mr. McDonald forgot about the Day of Unleavened Bread and sinned viciously, no. He didn't. Did he sin? No. He forgot. But there's a lesson to learn there, isn't it? There's a lesson to be learned there. And that's the whole point of the festival. What are lessons we can learn? Now, you may ask, did I slip up this year? Let's move right on. Yeah, took my wife to the airport. Okay, well, the night before, we went to a restaurant. And we were very good. And we ordered mushrooms. Well, I didn't see that it said breaded mushrooms. So, well, the dogs got to eat that later on. So, no problem there. So the next day I take my wife. She doesn't know this till now. Confession is good for the soul. I took her to the airport. I was on my way home and starving. It's been 20 minutes since I ate. And for some reason, this cinnamon roll looks so good. And I ate that thing, and it was great. And about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes later, I'm getting slower in my old age. I go, oh, that wasn't too smart. And I even had the bag that it was in sitting in my trash can in my office. So, okay, stone me. So, but you see, the lessons are there, aren't they? And we laugh at it because we do. We're serious about it. We want to do it, but we are. And how many times will sin creep in that same way? Oh, so there's a lesson. So we learned the lesson. Don't beat yourself up because you forgot. Don't make it, you know, just a comical thing where you just blow it off. But you can learn from the lesson, and that's what we do here. So anyway, we're seeing here in Galatians, he's talking about a partnership. And so and I think we're all safe in saying we're the junior partner in this. So when we're in our partnership with Jesus Christ and, of course, God the Father living in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are in partnership with Him. Wow. So there's this relationship. It's Father, Son. It's, Father, Daughter, because the women are have God's Holy Spirit too. There's we are in a family with God. You know, He's our Father. We have our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship one with another. We have all of these metaphors, but they're truth. Things to help us understand things. And so here we are partnering. And what we're dealing with is we have a high priest who is also our partner who demonstrated that he has that love for us by dying for us. The chastisement of our peace was on him, says in Isaiah. And what we now have is this high priest who we were just talking about Matthew when he did that evil, rotten thing. When he forgot, and when I forgot, the high priest was there and he said, you forgot, you know, we'll hit you inside the head. You forgot. Oh, yeah. And did we get condemnation? No. But because we care, we go, oh, man. Now, if I just, or he just said, well, you know, nobody's going to know about it, so who cares? So what is that? That's hypocrisy, isn't it? It's pretending to be something, but being something very different. That's why I say, if you happen to eat bread during the days, or leavened bread during the days of unleavened bread by accident, you've not sinned, unless you just say, blow it off. It's no big deal. No, okay, now the heart's not right. But the whole lesson is to get this process in our mind to say, you know, it's easy to sin, even though we love God, we want to have this relationship with Him, we're in partnership with Him, as it says here, but it can still happen. So let's read this verse again, in Hebrews 3, verse 1, but with this, and it would be not pressing beyond the proper interpretation, or if you will, translation here, if I could use the word partnership. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, and that's what God calls us, and we say, holy brethren, man, You know, sin is at my doorstep every, it seems like every 5 minutes. And we're called holy? Yes, because you are unleavened because of the Passover. Now, we're not making light of sin, but we want to emphasize, who are we? Who are we in Christ? We're part of that unleavened lump. And that's why Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, act like it. Don't go back to the old ways that of unleavened and malice and all this. So we are holy brethren, knowing full well that we fall short. And therefore we appreciate the mercy and the compassion of God that He extends to us in that attitude we have of repentance. Therefore, holy brethren, partners of the heavenly calling. You can read partakers, that's fine, it's not wrong, of course. But it also can be called partners of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle, so we also have an apostle, and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. So among all the other titles, he's also the apostle of our faith. It's amazing. And we're in partnership with that being, in God the Father, who was faithful to him who appointed him. So God the Father appointed him. He was faithful to fulfill all those things that he was supposed to do in his lifetime as a physical being, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one, you notice it's capitalized, has been, it's referring to Christ, this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he built the house, has more honor than the house. So again, this is referring here to God, is the one. So it's interesting that we are entering into a partnership. And even as junior partners, we can fall short. But our apostle, wow. Our high priest, our elder brother. You know, you want to throw your name around? Hey, you know, I got relatives then who's, you know, high priest. Because people may put you in a little room that's padded later on. Because they don't understand that. But as we do, we think, wow, I have an elder brother who is not ashamed to call me a brother. So you can just start elaborating on this. And we have been called, we've been forgiven, we're in an attitude of forgiveness. Even when we fall short, he says, he doesn't make light of it because he's paid that penalty for us. He paid that penalty for us. We don't make light of it. But we say, yeah, I fell short. As we heard in Romans 7, the apostle Paul said, I don't get it. I do what I don't want to do. And what I don't want to do, I do. So what is it he doesn't want to do? Sin. Okay? And what he wants to do is obey God. He sees that there's this conflict in there. Was he constantly sinning all the time about everything? No. But how many times do we beat ourselves up when we fall short in some area? Pretty soon we say, well, you know, I'm just a total no-count sinner every way. And that's when we will hear the prodding of the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. You did this wrong here. All right, let's deal with that. But you're not a total bad, evil person. You've fallen short. And even in that, if you're really repentant, that's growth. That's growth. So we are in a partnership, if you will, with God. Now let's talk about this just a little bit more as we build this. Because as we do want to get sin out of our lives, but I'm trying to help understand a little more dimension of what all that means, and I hope in a little deeper way. So, let's go to Luke 12. Luke 12. Okay, Luke 12, verse 1. Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people gathered, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Wow. You see why they hated him so much. Now, a hypocrite, in the Greek again, the word hypocrisy means a way of play acting. If you've ever seen an old Greek play, a lot of times if they're trying to do it authentic fashion. But they used to do thousands of years ago in the Greek plays. The actor would be there, but they'd have a little face in front of their face, and it would have a mask. And they would call that, where we get the word hypocrite, or I can't remember the Greek word here, but it actually refers to the mask. It's a mask to hide the identity of the actor so you can see who he's trying to be. Well, here, a hypocrite pretends to be a Christian but puts on a mask that looks like a Christian, but really in real life, they're not living that way of life at all. They're acting. They're playing a part on a stage. So if you ever see you might even look it up on the internet. If you don't know how to do that, Nathan will help you. And in case you don't know who Nathan is, I think all of you do. But he's our computer guru. Not really. You say Google, he thinks that's your cousin or something. So anyway. Where did I get with all this now? Okay, so you're pretending. You're a hypocrite. And you can fool people about that for a time, but you never fool God about it. And this is what Christ was looking at. And he just, look at these people who were hypocrites. He says, beware, the last part of verse 1 is chapter 12. Chapter 12, last part of verse 1, beware of the leaven. So using that analogy there again. Beware of the leaven or yeast. And that's really a better translation based upon what we learned about during the offering. It's a yeast. What would be, well, we talked about the yeast before. There's this yeast that they're teaching is polluted. Remember we talked about that it can become polluted? But in this case, it's spiritually polluted. Well, wait a minute. I thought they kept the Sabbath and the holy days, didn't they? Yeah. But they were pretending. They really weren't living this way. If you want to look more into it, I don't have time. Matthew 23, look at that hole. You brood of vipers. He's taken the mask off them and revealing them for who they are. Now that's very different than, I believe, than us. Unless there's somebody here I don't know about. All of us would say, yes, I sin. I fall short. But man, I don't want to. So when I sin, I'll admit to it. I need to somebody that I've offended, I'll admit to that, I'll repent before God, and we start all over again. There's a huge difference between that and, well, yeah, I go to church and tithe every mint and coming, and I, you know, I've been warming the chair at the church for 50 years and never missed a Sabbath yet. Is that supposed to mean something? Why are you living your life? Well, let's move on. See? So that's hypocrisy. So beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, or the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. See, this hiding who they really are. Nor hidden that will not be known. So this leavening that they have. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. It's going to be revealed. These guys are sitting there listening to Christ. And what you have spoken in the ear in the inner room will be proclaimed in the housetops. So when you so there's a lot that we can learn there. So anyway, I'm looking at that. And that can be true today of politicians. It can be true today of preachers. It can be true of anybody who pretends to be one way, you know, holy or whatever. And yet in another way, there's something else altogether different. Again, they are pretending to be what they really are not, in order to come across in a certain way, maybe to build a big financial empire or whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. Again, the real attitude is the difference. The real difference is the attitude. I got that backwards. James 4. Let's go to James 4. Now, it's amazing that Martin Luther called this the Book of Straw, because he just struggled with this book terribly because he had some teachings that were wrong. But anyway, this is not a book of straw. It's a lot of deep meaning here. James 4, and let's start in verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You have to be dependent on God for everything. Today we'll do this, Lord willing. Today we'll do that, Lord willing. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows, this is the part I really want to hit, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. So, let's put it another way, like, because we're talking about the days of unleavened bread, apply it in that way. Sorry. Therefore, to him who knows to get the leavening out of his life but doesn't do it, well, then he's got this leavening of sin in his life. So we, again, there's a difference between knowing and not caring, and knowing and have a repentant attitude and working towards growth and coming past that and moving on. Big, big difference. And that's why God says, just be patient with one another, because we're all in the same boat. See, we're all in the same boat. Let's go now to John 9. John 9. We're in a partnership with God, and that partnership requires, again, that you be honest with yourself, because believe it or not, the apostle, high priest, elder brother already knows. He's, most of the time he's just waiting for us to, hello, you know, wake up and go, oh. And so we're not going to shock him by saying, you know, I've sinned in this way and I really didn't know it. He says, well, you know, shit, I've known it all along. I've been trying to get you to see it. And now you do see it, and that's a wonderful thing. Okay, now you can work with somebody like that as opposed to someone who says, sin? Me? Okay, then, you know. Okay, John 9, verse 40. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, we understand. You're saying that. Therefore, your sin remains. They claim to know these things. They claim to have this understanding. And he says, your sin remains because in your hypocrisy, you're continuing on. Remember Nicodemus? I think we talked about this before. I'm sure we have. Nicodemus came to Christ. Was it John 4, the Gospel of John? I'm not going to go there, but John 4. He says, we know. We, who's the we? We know that you're a man from God. He wasn't admitting we know you're the Son of God. But he's admitting we know that you're, all right, we'll go there. We know you're a man of God, because no one could do these things except that he be that. Now, let me see if I can find it, if I remember. That was chapter 3. Chapter 3 of John. There, John 3, verse 1. John 3 and verse 1. We are throwing the notes aside, so let's see what happens. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Nicodemus, as you know, later on, he came to repentance. He was a rare bird indeed. There were other Pharisees and Sadducees. And here's what he said. This man came to Jesus by night, because he didn't want everybody to know he was doing it, because, you know, he had a reputation as a Pharisee, and Jesus had a reputation of not liking him too much, you know, these Pharisees and the hypocrites. But he wanted to learn more. So he was where he was in his spiritual life. At this point, he would come in at night secretly. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi or teacher, we, who's the we? The Pharisees, because he says he's a Pharisee, and part of the rulers of the Jews. We know that you are a teacher come from God. He didn't say we know you're the Messiah, but we know you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs, these various signs and wonders, that you do unless God is with him. And then the discussion goes on into other things. But the point I wanted to make is Nicodemus was speaking not only for himself, but also because he had debates with his other Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, we know you're a man from God. We've used this other analogy before, and you've heard it before. That's like, Vice President Pence. He's overseas. So when he's in Korea, a Korean president, they don't have one just now, but anyway, when they will pursue, comes to him and says, well, we know you're a member of the White House staff. That's meaning one thing, because he is. Or you can say, we know you're the president. Well, no, he's not the president. So if Nicodemus had said, well, we know you're the Messiah, that'd be one thing. But he says, we know that you must be from God because no one could do these things except he come from God. So he's admitting, you're part of the White House staff, but we're not going to say you're president. Does that make sense? Hopefully. Get you more confused as it goes. So in the Old Testament, remember we talked about leavening in the Old Testament. And it literally had a danger to it because it could get contaminated and people could die or become violently ill. Now, I ate one of those little pies that I think he had. You just get off the counter. I was a freshman year in college. I was coming home. And I don't know. It must have had something in it. I have never been so sick in my whole life. I mean, tell you what. I won't get in anyway. I would say I wouldn't eat one of those things for years. I mean, it patterned my brain on that one. Wow. And I just got a bad one. It really makes you sick. So it's some kind of food poisoning. So, but in the Old Testament, leavening was that, but there were lessons for them to learn as well. In the New Testament, we see leavening is more as a moral evil, sin. Now, again, the Old Testament had a lot of that as well. So, leavening has a lot of meaning and a lot of things that we can learn from it. Let's go to Matthew 23. But as the partners with God, we need to be honest with each other as far as with our high priest and our apostle, and if need be with each other, to continue this process of becoming unleavened and acting like we are, believing we are, and fully acknowledging that we have our weaknesses. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and said to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They had that authority that was handed down. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, see, and again, some authorities drop out the word observe, or they say do, that observe and do. So they had a certain amount of authority, and what they would tell you to do, as long, it would be within the scripture, and then you do that. But do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. For they are blind, heavy, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. And that's not what God told them to do, but this is their own religion kind of thing building in there. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers and so forth. And this is where it goes and talks about the brood of vipers, the hypocrisy there. And judgment was coming upon them because of that hypocrisy. So then as partners, and we again are those junior partners, let's continue with that theme in mind, what we can learn from it. Again, we're associates, we're partners, we're partakers. That's where we get that from the Greek word. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, and verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Remember, Paul said earlier that he died to the law. And then because the law required his death. Then when he repented, his relationship to the law changed. We talked about that a little while ago. So it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, that can put your name in there and not my name, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's what we were. See? Before God called us, before we were unknowingly, unwittingly, what we were. Among also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. We're no better than we were all in the same boat, and the boat was sinking, if you will, with the death penalty. We were all going down. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. We're not trying to earn salvation. We have God's Spirit. And he says, keep these holy days. We say, okay. And we can learn from that process. You know, when you have God's Spirit, you want to obey God. And when you have God's Spirit and you don't, it pricks your mind. You go, it pricks your conscience. So, but we are saved by grace, that but undeserved pardon that we received, and it was imputed to us when we accepted Christ as our Savior. And raised us up together, verse 6, that metaphor of being in the grave, coming out of the watery grave at baptism, that whole metaphor that's there. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the spiritual. It says heavenly, but spiritual is probably a little more accurate if you look it up in the Greek. Spiritual places in Jesus Christ. In other words, we have this spiritual relationship. We have this partnership, if I can use that term. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show exceedingly riches. He might show the exceeding riches of His grace by His kindness towards us in Christ. Loosely translated, in the ages to come, He's going to take our example and say, if I can do it with that bunch of guys and gals, I can do it with anybody. Because He's called, what did He call us? The lowly of the world. That's what in 1 Corinthians 2, I believe it is. He called the lowly of the world, not many mighty, not many noble. There were a few, of course. But God calls the lowly of the world. Well, hello, lowlies, here we are. Is that? Never mind, I'm not going to get into that. The Despicables and the... How were those cartoon characters that some politician got herself in trouble with? Anyway, then the ages to come, verse 7. He might demonstrate might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. And again, He says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. We cannot earn salvation through obedience. But when you are called and given God's Holy Spirit, you want to obey. And because you want to obey, you're in that partnership with God and with, you know, Jesus Christ and God the Father through the Holy Spirit. We're in partnership. And because we have that attitude, He says, that's the kind of person I will eventually give them a spiritual body and so forth, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. For by grace you've been saved, verse 8, through faith, and not that of yourselves, but as a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. Yeah, I've kept the days of unleavened bread for 45 years. Well, good for you, but have you learned anything? No. You know, if you're really honest, well, okay. Well, then you're trying to earn salvation. We sort of have this, if we're not careful, we get into spiritual evolution. I've been around long enough. You've been a monkey for 10,000 million years, and then all of a sudden now you're a member of God's spiritual family. Well, no, that isn't how it works. Wait a minute, I've been to church for all those years. Yeah, it's a shame you didn't learn too much. Others just say, well, yeah, they've learned a lot. And then God says, I'm well pleased with that person. So I'm just trying to make the point here. You're not saved by works. See verse 9, not by works, lest any should boast. For we are His workmanship. And again, I haven't looked at that word workmanship, but it kind of plays off, at least in applied meaning, of partnership. We're working. God is working with us. And how do we work with God? By being yielded and submissive and saying, yes, again, you've proven yourself right. And again, I fall on your mercy to help me to overcome these sins and to, you know, wash me clean and to move on. And that's what God is looking for. That is what God is looking for. And it's work in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that is actually continuing the unleavening, the de-leavening of our lives. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's a way of life. And that's what He's intended for us. Well, let me just conclude by bringing up just a few things that we've talked about either earlier today or even during the first day. And this is not an all-inclusive list, of course, but just a few of them. So some of the things we've learned during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I don't know about you, but this year is flying by. We're already in April. It's just amazing. Anyway, let's review what we've learned. We found that leavening spreads and can affect the whole loaf. We kind of talked about that during the offertory. And it can affect especially the Old Testament way, in a bad way, because it can poison. Or, but we also see the spiritual side, where God wants to get us pure of all the unleavening in our lives. We talked about the infectious part of it today as well. In ancient Israel, because they would burn even the starter leavening that they would have, they would burn it all. This was a way to protect them, but it's also a good way, as we use it in our minds today, that God is trying to protect us by this concept every year, coming through the days of unleavened bread and learning more about these things that God wants us to learn. Now let's go to Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10. Yes. 1 Corinthians 10. You know, we quote the Old Testament, but we're a New Testament church. But why would we do both? Because many times, as we said before, you can't understand the Old Testament if you don't understand the New Testament, and vice versa. You really need that. But let's take a look here at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers, now he's referring to discussion of things that happened in the Old Testament, were under the cloud. Okay? He'll make this clear to us. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses. So when Israel went through the Red Sea, Paul is saying that's a type of baptism. It was a type, the Old Testament type of baptism. Just as we in Romans 6 go through a baptism, in this case we go into the watery grave, and we come out. So we're baptized into Christ, they were baptized into Moses. All were baptized into Moses and the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. Now they received manna for 40 years, didn't they? And it would be supernaturally provided every day, every morning, except on Friday when they would get twice the amount of manna because they weren't going to come out on Sabbath. They learned that lesson the hard way, but they would learn, okay, God's going to provide twice as much on Friday so that when Sabbath comes, you don't go out and gather food. Trying to teach them just some basic, simple principles. So it was a supernaturally provided, but it was a physical thing to keep them alive. Okay, so it's playing a little word on a word game. I don't know if it's a game. A word play is a better way. All ate the same spiritual food. So it's spiritual because it was provided by miracle, but it was physical food. Now he says that with that in mind, all drank of the same spiritual drink. Now, what's he trying to say? For they drank of the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So Christ was the being that thundered the Ten Commandments to Israel. So finally said, you know, Moses, you go and talk to him. This is terrifying to us, you know, all of that. So the interaction that God had with ancient Israel really was through the pre-incarnate being of Christ. So it's really... And again, another thing we keep in mind is this type and antitype, if you will. It's type and antitype. And we're learning these things. Today, we have that same rock. Now, wait a minute. He's apostle, the elder brother, savior. He's all these things, isn't he? It's all together. And we're in partnership with him. Wow. And that partnership is to help us to become more and more unleavened, become more sensitive to sin, yes, but also to become more yielded to the influence of the Holy Spirit so that He can change us, so that we can become more and more what He wants us to be, which is a reflection of His Son, which is a reflection of the Father. Find that in Colossians, the first chapter, which we won't go there. Okay, so this is the thing I hope we walk away with this year, as we are coming up to the end of the days of unleavened bread, is that we are in partnership with God. We're the junior partners, but we have that privilege and that honor to be called now and to understand these things. And I'm sure we're going to learn more and more and more as time goes on. And that's the exciting thing. As junior partners, we learn. And we'll become more and more yielded and more submissive to God's Holy Spirit as we become more and more unleavened, but become, if you will, leavened with the spirit of truth in the way of God.